the matinee mole. Like, they would put a mole on themselves for, like, a Sunday matinee.
What?
Hello, we are here at Sun Sounds of Arizona in Flagstaff, Arizona, and welcome to episode 36 of Untamed Shrews Women Talk Theater, presented by the Flagstaff Shakespeare Festival. I'm Becky.
And I'm Hannah. Just like January's episode, Dawn is still out on maternity leave, so today we have another honorary shrew with us, Christine Schmidla.
Yay!
Christine was an early guest on The Shrews and is the director of vision and text at Flagshakes, and she's also covering for Dawn for maternity cover while Dawn is away. So hello, Christine. Can you tell the Shrew crew who you are and how you've been since the last time that we have heard from you? It's been quite a while.
Which may have been like 3 years.
Yeah. You were like, we always say this, what's the joke?
Your episode three. I think you might be episode two.
Yeah.
Maybe episode three.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Everyone was episode three. But you probably were episode three.
Yeah. Well, it's fantastic to be back on the podcast.
Woo!
So yeah, I'm mostly a freelance director and Shakespeare text expert or coach. So I've worked a lot at Shakespeare's Globe in London on over 60 productions. Well, and I'm now really focusing on sharing all that I've learned and experienced there with whoever wants to work with me. So
everyone.
So that's really what I'm currently doing. So I'm a bit of a jet setter and
oh yes, you are.
Loving the life. As is currently. Ooh. So yeah. Yay. And very excited to be back here.
Yay. Yeah, it's so nice to have you in Flagstaff. Christine, why are you in Flagstaff right now?
Well, there was this amazing project, this collaboration between FSO, so Flagstaff Symphony Orchestra, and Flagshakes. And then we also had the ballet and the choir from NAU be part of this wonderful project of A Midsummer Night's Dream.
Ooh,
and I got to direct the actors in that and work with both of you.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So nice. Yeah. It was so much fun.
It was a blast. It was quite the dream team. Becky and I hadn't acted together in quite some time, although we were like not on stage together at all.
No. I think we had... I mean, technically, but not a whole lot of interaction.
Mere moments, mere moments.
Yeah.
Yay! Yeah. It's so lovely to have you. And you're here for like, what, another week?
Yes, I think so.
Nice.
Okay.
Yeah.
Big plans besides just snuggling with Willa?
That's Dawn's baby, by the way. With Willa and Blake. Well, and doing Dawn's job, of course.
Right, and also that. But you were doing that from afar, so that was a given.
Yeah, really enjoying Flagstaff and hanging out with everybody and, catching up and trying to get a bit of vacation in as well.
Yeah.
Have you gone anywhere while you've been here?
We went to Arizona.
Ooh, you did?
Fun. Yes,
it is fun.
Was that your first time there?
It is the first time. And we, I mean, we saw all the animals. So like the wolves and the bears and the bison. Mm-hmm. And, you know, especially great because Blake was,
excited. But... did he lose his tiny mind?
Oh.
At parts, yes.
Yeah.
But it's also very exciting for adults. So, that was my... so far, a big trip.
He really likes lions and he really likes wolves. So I'm sure he was excited to see the wolves. Were there any big cats?
Yes, there were jaguars.
Okay.
Yeah.
Because he loves lions.
Yes. Yeah. We were standing there watching them
forever.
And I mean, their fur is so beautiful. Yeah. Like, I think that might be. Yeah.
Oh, yeah.
The probably the most incredible fur of all the cats that I'm aware of.
Yeah.
Yeah, I mean, Blake is almost still a little bit too young for it. Yeah. So, you know, I'm sure they'll do a lot more trips.
That's awesome.
Yeah. Yay. Well, we need to make sure that we plan some
gal time.
One or two more gal hangs before you leave.
I know.
Lovely. How about you, Becky?
Doing pretty good. Wait, I do want to say that last night I had a dream that we were doing, Christine was directing Winter's Tale.
Oh,
and nice. But it must have been like similar to what we did with Midsummer except it was a panic dream because I was like, oh, no. I don't know my lines. And I was like, I know I knew them, but like, I don't know them now. And I couldn't find the page in the script where they were. I mean, you know, it was one of those the like theater dreams. Nightmare dreams. Yeah. But yeah, and like Christine, you were like, you all should know this. Do we need to stop the show? Blah, blah. And I was like, this is not Christine.
Agreed.
But yeah,
also that's panic. Strange because the show is over. I wonder know. Why your brain was like subconsciously worried about it.
Yeah. I also last week had a panic aerial dream where I like forgot the choreo. Yeah. And I have never had a panic aerial dream before.
Yeah, so. Me either.
Interesting.
I've definitely had panic theater dreams for sure.
Yeah. I mean, possibly better to have them after the actual performance than before.
Yeah, because then you wake up and you're like, I'm good.
Yeah, like, I knew my lines.
Yeah, exactly. Oh, interesting. I'm sorry. That sucks.
No. It was thrilling. But yeah, so February has just been like a race to get to the end, it feels like. I was a stage manager for the Hungry Hearts Cabaret, Ariel and Love Advice show, which was so much fun. I always say it's my like coming out of retirement, stage management retirement, to do that show.
Once a year.
Yes. And then that was right before or maybe in the middle of midsummer rehearsals. Mm-hmm. And then we had the midsummer performance, which was amazing. So much fun. It was so cinematic to like have the orchestra behind and the choir and the ballet. Maybe cinematic's not the right word, but it's just very grand.
Mm-hmm. I agree. Yeah. It feels like very, very early cinema music.
Yeah. And then I went to Durango to kind of finish up polar season. And now I'm back for a week. And then I get to go to for vacation for basically the whole month of March, which is exactly what I wanted to do.
Where are you going?
I'm going to meet my parents in Aruba, and then I'm going to go to the UK, London, Belfast, and Edinburgh. I think you can pronounce it both ways.
I literally don't know.
Yeah.
Christine, you'd know.
I would say Edinburgh.
Edinburgh? Mm-hmm. So like no G at all.
Okay, Edinburgh.
Mm-hmm. Edinburgh.
Okay. Mm-hmm. Yeah. So I'm going to do that, and I'm very excited. And I also, maybe just like a little like, I don't know, more personal life update, but I like my hair is starting to grow back and I'm finally feeling like cute again.
Like, it's getting so curly again.
Yeah. And I have missed that so much. Yeah. And I just feel more like me. So
yay.
I just felt like I wanted to include that too.
We love that.
Yeah.
Yahoo.
Yeah.
It looks super cute.
Thank you. Hannah, what's new with you?
So guys, since we switched to this every other month model, you don't know this yet, but I have been engaged for an entire month. I'm sorry, True Crew, that you are a month behind. But yes, Jacob proposed. Very exciting. This was not necessarily a surprise. But yes, we have been engaged since like end of January. And we're recording now end of February for our March episode, which is so exciting. And we have a very short engagement. It was total of 4 months, but now we're already down to three. We are down to three. How did that happen? It's been a month. But we have just been feverishly planning this wedding. So the wedding is going to be this summer here in Flagstaff. So it's going to be gorgeous, but there's just a lot to do, and we're doing a decent amount of DIY, and like I don't have a wedding planner, it's just me and my mom and Jacob and my bridesmaids, you know, like everyone's pitching in a little bit, so it's just been a lot of planning. But we have like our venue, I have my dress, you know, Jacob has his suit, you know, like we have knocked things off the list, yes, but there's still so much of a list left. But we're going to Puerto Rico for our honeymoon, which is very exciting. And it seems very highly recommended from everyone we've talked to. So we feel very good about the choice.
I can agree. I've been there.
Oh, good.
You have?
Lovely. It's lovely. Yes. Well, you know, everyone has been saying like it's easy to get to because it's U.S. territory. You don't need a passport. It's fairly cheap to get there because it's U.S. territory. Mm. It's safe. It's easy. You can use the U.S. dollar. Most everyone speaks English, but it also still feels like you're going somewhere.
Yeah.
Which is really exciting. Like, it's still a completely different culture, but it's not like, oh my gosh, I'm starting from zero. I don't know how to navigate in this new place.
Oh, yeah.
Which is nice. So yeah, we're really excited. Yay. Just so it's mostly honeymoon, wedding, and figuring out where we're going to live. so working on that. We're just like applying for a bunch of houses right now and trying to see which one's going to be the right place, because that's going to come up just as quick, and got to get obviously moved and everything. So of course, I was also in Midsummer, which was lovely, but I had played Helena before, so thank the Lord that I had already played Helena, because on top of getting engaged, if I had been trying to do a show, oh my gosh, I probably would have just deceased. We just very quickly worked on a bunch of things at the beginning. Thankfully, had enough done that I could kind of take that week off from wedding stuff to focus on the show, and then like immediately got back into wedding stuff as soon as the show was over. But I thought it was great, especially after doing Romeo and Juliet last
October.
Yeah, last November.
Okay.
I was like, if I could play Juliet in 2 days, I can do anything. So it was, yeah. So it was only a week of rehearsals and one night only. So I felt like I had kind of just done that. So I felt pretty good and had a ton of fun. And so, yeah, it was really lovely. So besides engagement, wedding planning, and Midsummer, that's mostly it.
Yeah. Yeah.
That's me.
Woo-hoo. Yay.
Congrats. But
yeah, congratulations.
Thank you.
Yeah.
Shout out to Jacob. He's great. Well, it's so lovely to have you, Christine. It's awesome that you came all the way from Germany to be here with us.
Yes, just for this recording.
Just for this recording. I love doing that.
Okay, yeah. So now that we've checked in, today's episode, Becky suggested rotating rep.
Yeah, and rotating rep is called that, and not just repertory theater.
Oh, yes.
Yeah, because in repertory theater, you're doing, or a company is doing many shows at once. But a rotating repertory theater, the way it's been described to me, is that it's the same people doing multiple shows.
Not just the same company.
Not just the same company. Yeah. So your actors are going to be in all shows, or a lot of the actors will be in the shows. Maybe your stage managers as well. Your crew, of course. So yeah. So it's just a little bit different. Mm-hmm. Yeah. And Christine, does Germany have a lot of like rotating repertory theater like that?
Almost only.
Oh.
Yeah. So because the system is set up a little bit different. So you have your theater institution and then they hire actors for at least 2 years, if not longer.
Okay.
And then
so it's like a job.
It's a job.
It's like an actual job.
Yeah. You don't have time to do anything else, really. Okay. And then so the theater I worked at, they were always doing two shows parallel.
Okay.
So basically, I was always a main stage, so a big play, and then a smaller one with just like 3, 4, maybe 5 actors. And so basically, you as an actor, you were in either of those. So you were basically in a show every single time of the year.
Yeah.
Usually, there is like this one rotating spot of someone being off, so you get at least a little break in it all. Because what that means really is you're rehearsing a show for 6 weeks during the day and the evening if you're not performing. And if you're performing, you're then performing that play.
Yeah.
So we always had 8 shows at the same time.
Oh my gosh.
Yeah. Yeah. Wow. So whenever, so basically it was always 8. And then every once in a while, one was switched out with the newest one then. And, you know, like big theaters in Berlin, they keep their shows for years and years. Mm-hmm. So it really depends on like how big the theater is.
Right. Where they're located.
Yeah.
Rural or
and,
whatever.
Yeah, exactly. And then how many shows or how many audience members basically they have to cover.
Okay.
But yeah.
And for like 8 shows, would they all have was there something that tied them all together, or was it seemingly like just a random assortment?
Mostly a random assortment, but because basically the idea was that you could like switch them out after 2 years.
Okay.
So we played in 2 towns, so the rep was even longer. So it was 1 year in that one town and then 1 year in the other town.
Yeah.
And then, yeah, so basically It was like a 2-year cycle of like new plays coming in. And then every once in a while they kept a show on longer.
If it was really successful.
Yeah, yeah. But because you still have movement of like actors leaving, new actors coming in, they usually sort of try to stick to those 2 years in that town. So it always depends sort of like what your capabilities are as a theater. Because like in Berlin, you just have access to a lot more actors. So I think the Schaubühne has like 50 or more actors in, but they don't always perform all the time.
Yeah.
So they're more repertory rather than...
Oh, like rotating.
Rotating repertory. Okay. Yeah.
So do they... Well, it sounds like in places like Berlin, they don't like house and such...
I mean, nowhere really, unless you have a summer festival.
Okay.
But yeah, because you're fully employed, so you get your salary.
Regular job.
Yeah. And so you're responsible for your own housing, which is good. So, and we also did that at, so I, as you know, I studied at the American Shakespeare Center and also worked with them. And they also had those. So they had, I always loved their rent season in the spring, where they had the same company and then doing 5 shows, and they were responsible to put them on themselves. But also for the rest of the year, they usually had, so it was always the same company, although they were in a way 2 companies when I was there. So one touring and one in-house, but still they did different shows.
Fascinating. Yeah. So in like the American model, we really see rotating rep mostly in summer stock sort of a situation.
Mostly.
That's like kind of the big way you see it, where like someone, a big theater brings in however, you know, 50, 100, 150 actors for one summer of like 3 or 4 months where they do a bunch of shows. They all live and work together and are all in rehearsing or in, you know, 4 shows or 3 shows or whatever. But then it ends. Mm-hmm. So it's almost like the one thing about rotating rep is that like it can be so overwhelming. But like in a place like in Germany, it sounds like it's been
the norm.
Yeah, it's the norm, but it's been perfected to be long term. Mm. Whereas it seems like in America, it's more like, okay, you crunch down for 3 months.
Yeah.
And then you rest.
Mm. Yeah.
And those 3 months, you don't really have time off. You're rehearsing, you're performing. It just kind of goes from May to October or whatever. And then it's kind of like quiets down, which is interesting. I can't personally think of an American company that like just hires 20 actors and like, well, actually, does Atlanta Shakespeare Tavern do that?
Oh, I don't know.
I'll have to check. I think that's where Staw was this year, was in Atlanta. And I think they actually might have actors on just like as employees, which is so cool. Like they just hire actors and then they place them. Rather than hiring new actors for every show, they have like 20 actors who are just on payroll and then they just get added to shows, which is super cool.
That's
so
awesome.
I'll have to do some research, but I can't think of many at least that do it that way.
I mean, I worked with a company down in Florida and I don't know if they were, they probably weren't on payroll like year round, but there were maybe like 4 to 6, 4 to 10 actors that would consistently come back for the rep each season. But I don't know, they probably weren't employed during the summer when the rep, cause this was opposite, they did because it was Florida, so no one wants to be
like all the times except summer.
But yeah, I don't know if they were employed all year round
in Germany. That too, like the summers, the theaters are dark in the summer because they're like they're always like 6 weeks off as like the school vacation times.
Why?
Because you can go on vacation with your kid then.
Oh.
Yes.
Oh,
also
that's nice.
People are gone for the summer mostly on vacation. Yeah. So they're not really
seeing shows.
Yeah, it's not that big of a like it's more of I guess vacation wherever vacation spots are that then there's also
shows
like
will
a
continue.
Theater offer for that, but mostly like specific for that time.
Yeah. Well, because, yeah, that's so funny for at least at Flagshake. Summer is our go time. Mm.
Yeah. Yeah. But I wonder it's because a lot of people are visiting Flagstaff in the summer.
Yeah.
Yeah. Well, and also no one wants to see outdoor theater in January in Flagstaff.
No.
When it
we
is
must
the knowing.
We must pivot.
Yeah. Yeah.
Yeah.
So there's a lot of, it takes a lot of stamina to be in rotating rep theater, if you're, and a lot of like mental energy to be rehearsing one show and performing another, or rehearsing, performing multiple shows at the same time.
Yeah, that's really what, for me, I've never done a true rotating rep where I was in several shows. So I've done rotating rep where I was like in one show stage managing another, in one show choreographing another, in one show doing music for another. I don't, as far as I can remember, I've never been in two shows at once where I was acting in both. And for me, what really comes down to it is the memorizing. Like, my brain just, I mean, I'm sure I could do it. I've just never had to. But, like, that's where I feel like I would get overwhelmed is, like, I just can't fit anything else in my brain. Like, I can put in the energy and the work. Like, I can go to the theater to teach a dance. I can go to the, like, I can work on costumes. I can do this. So I could do other work, but, like, where are the words going to go? Like, I already have an entire show in my brain right now. How am I going to fit anything else? So really, for me, that's the big one.
Yeah.
Like, I can hunker down, get good sleep, exercise, pack my lunches. Like, I can get through the busyness, but it's the brain space that I feel like I just don't.
There is a finite amount of storage up there.
So that's like what worries me. Have you ever actually done a rep where you were acting in several shows?
Mm-hmm. Well, the 2021 Flag Shakes, I was in Midsummer and Hamlet.
Oh, yeah. Uh-huh.
Yeah. And then I wonder, maybe that was the only time I was performing.
Oh, you also did God of Vengeance and Indecent together. Yeah.
Yeah. The whole reason that I came to Flagstaff. Yeah. And I find, maybe this is a bad thing to say, but I find like the more rehearsal time, because like if you are spending 8 hours a day in rehearsal, 4 hours for one show, 4 hours for another, like the more rehearsal time to like be up on your feet doing this stuff is so helpful. Well, yeah. And just like more time, because I find sometimes like my downtime, I find sometimes it can be hard to like sit with it because it's like I've been in rehearsal for 8 hours like already working on this, that
so I can't memorize for 2 hours tonight.
Sometimes, I mean, obviously not always, and you know, sometimes you are not in rehearsal for 8 hours a day, and then you can take that time, of course. But yeah, I mean, yeah, I find that I'm really good at meal prepping though. Sorry, yeah. Christine, what were you gonna say?
I agree with you on, because I think that's the thing about acting, and I thought that was very telling now working with FSO, because as a musician you can do a lot of prep work at home, but acting is much more closely related to ballet. Like, you have to get it in your body.
Yeah.
Like, it, you of course you can like memorize the lines, but that doesn't mean they're yet in your body in order to represent that full character.
Yeah.
So, and that just needs time. It needs time for your brain to understand that, for your body to make that connection, for your body to live in that and see if that's sort of really the right way to go, and then to sort of do the last touches on creating that full character.
Yeah.
So it just takes time because your body needs that time.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. And yeah, and like your relationship to your scene partner or partners, like, yeah, I might be able to in my head know what the line is, but when I hear it, I'm like, that sounds totally different. Like, yeah. Or
they do something.
Yeah, yeah.
They touch your hand and you're like, oh no, I have forgotten what to say because they made a choice. Yeah. I'm like,
Which is exactly what you want, but then you need time to like react to that.
Yeah.
Which is why they always say like, work on your lines on your feet, run your lines on your feet, because once you start making choices, then you forget your lines.
Yeah.
So.
Yeah.
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 Yeah. I think I did two shows in rep at the AAC, and I mean, I had smaller parts, so it the memorization wasn't really that challenging. But I thought, I had an actor once describe it that, you know, like you, like any cooking recipes, you know, like the show stays within it, one show. And I actually thought that is a really good description of it, because you're going in, you're seeing the costumes, and your mind is already then in that space of mm-hmm. that show. So
like when you show up like to do a performance,
I
think I worked I did work with somebody who said, so the theater company I worked with in Montana, they would do 4 musicals in the summer, and it was rotating rep, and big. It was, yeah. And one of the directors who had come back after being an actor, she was like, sometimes I wouldn't know what show I was doing until I looked down at my costume, and I was like, oh, okay, I know what to do now. But she was like, seriously, I'm stepping out on that stage, and I'm like, what show am I in?
So true. Do you ever, this happens to me at least, when I'm like about to enter the stage, sometimes I like, because I always tell myself, like, what's my first line? And if I know my first line, then I'm good. Like, I can do the rest. But mm-hmm. sometimes just randomly, my brain will be like, it's this random monologue that you learned 7 years ago. And I'm like, no, that's not it, brain. So it's kind of like that, where it's like, where am I? Okay, now I know.
Yeah.
Like, you have to like plug in, because, I mean, as much as it's not like fun and fancy to say, like, acting is also just like brain like firings.
Yeah.
So like you know, we want to be organic, and we want to, you know, feel our scene partner, and we're just in the space of the character, but also we need to know the lines, and we need to know where we're going, and sometimes that's just like a track, you know, and you have to, like, that's part of it too. So yeah, and those tracks can, like, especially like in Midsommar, Helena comes into the scene the same way like 7 times.
Oh, yeah.
So I have to separate all of those different scenes that basically are shaped the exact same way. So I could walk out there and say the next scene on accident, because they're all shaped the same way. I'm following Demetrius how many times? Like, the same way. So you have to, you have to, like, click into where you're at. And sometimes it's, like, seems simple, but you're like, okay, what just happened and what did I just learn? Oh, okay, now this happens next. But it's silly, but sometimes as an actor, you don't think about those things. You're like, where am I walking next? Mm-hmm. You're like, oh no, what actually just got said to me?
Yes.
That tells me what's next.
Yeah.
Anyway, long-winded. Yeah. But yeah, I completely understand that. You have to, like, remind yourself what you're doing.
Yeah.
Because there's just so many details.
Yeah. That's, I mean, this isn't maybe specific to rotating rep theater, but, like, that's why, as, like, a stage manager or, just, like, somebody not performing, it's like, that's why I can, like, understand why some actors are very particular, because it's like they don't want to have to think about the technical. They just want to have to – or they just want to be able to focus on – And I'm like, I get it.
Makes sense.
I get it. Yeah.
So that's what rotating rep is, and our experiences. And you kind of started to touch on it. But, like, how do we stay alive in rotating rep? You had kind of touched on meal prep. I feel like we've discussed this in other episodes of, like,
it's like how to take how care to of survive. Your body.
Like, how to just get through.
Yeah.
And I feel like any time that I've done rep, unfortunately, my social life is pretty small. And I'm focusing on sleeping, eating, exercise, memorizing. Like, I'm basically just getting through, you know, which is why the German model fascinates me, because I'm like, do these people have lives?
Yeah. Like, because, can they do stuff outside of?
Because rotating rep in my mind is a short thing that you just, of course, enjoy. So the word get through makes it sound terrible, but you just do it. It's like you're at summer camp, nothing else. Like, it's your bubble. You're in your bubble for 3 months and you get through it. You push through. You take care of your body. You enjoy the show and the friends that you're doing the show with. And then you kind of pop the bubble and release. But how does rotating rep sustain like, do they have shorter rehearsal hours? Because it's like, it's more like a job.
Yeah, it is. And so, I mean, the big thing is that there's only one show rehearsing at a time.
Okay.
Okay.
So I think that makes a huge difference.
Yeah.
Because rehearsing two shows at the same time, I mean.
Just so
yeah,
much.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So the thing is, your brain mostly focuses on the show that you're rehearsing in. And then in Germany, what they do is that they have always the same hours in the day. So they have rehearsals in the morning, then they have the afternoon off, and then they have either performance or rehearsals in the evening.
For the same show.
Okay.
Rehearsals in the evening for the same show that they rehearse
exactly.
in the morning.
Yeah.
Okay. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. Or
one
they're
or the other.
Performing
yeah.
something completely different. Yeah.
Okay.
I think
you do have that awkward break though. Which
they
is hard.
Do. I agree. That, I've never really got around that.
That's yeah. what makes me feel like they don't have a true life. Because that sounds so dramatic. But like, you don't just get to then leave work. Like, you have a break, which
oh,
is great.
Yeah. But you come back.
But you come back.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Unlike
yeah.
a regular job where it's like, I'm there, I'm done, I go home.
Yeah.
Then I spend time
yeah.
with my husband, my kids,
yeah.
I go to a workout class. Like,
yeah.
I feel like that break in the middle is like what makes it feel like you never put it away.
Yes, I totally agree with that. So I never really got into the rhythm of
yeah.
having that
work-life
yeah.
balance.
Although I do know a lot of actors that are really glad about it because they always know they can do all sorts of live stuff
oh,
in the
yeah.
afternoon.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
You know, they always have time for their kids in the afternoon.
Mm-hmm.
And then you're also not always called for rehearsal,
true.
Of course. So it doesn't mean necessarily that you're actually working each evening.
That's true.
Yeah.
Or each morning.
Yeah. What's the, like, is there a typical break time? Is it like between 12 and 6 or between 1 and 5? Like, is
yeah,
there...
so we would rehearse 10 to 2
okay.
and then 6 to 10, I think, again.
Okay, okay.
Yeah.
If you were rehearsing.
Yeah.
Yes.
Then if you had a show, you had even less response, you know, because
yeah.
you just show up for the show, you go home after two
yeah.
and a half hours
yeah,
or whatever.
Yeah.
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 That's actually also the funny thing. Once you're in the show, it's actually so much less work.
Yeah.
yeah.
Because when you're
yeah.
in rehearsal, you're doing, it's also more exhausting because you're doing the same
yeah.
scene 10 times.
Mm-hmm.
Once you
yeah.
open the show, you just get through your 2.5 hours
yeah.
and
yeah.
you're done.
Yeah.
I mean, that's what I thought is sort of the unfortunate drawback about the rotating rep is that, you know, I got to work with a lot of very different directors, which was great. And then some really established something in that 6 weeks of rehearsals. But once it was in rep, the focus of the rehearsal was again on a very different style of rehearsal. And so sometimes the very clear cut of a production would slightly be watered down based on the fact that you were now sort of pushed in a possibly completely different direction. Sometimes I sort of thought it was a shame that you lost some of the like crystal clear result that you had once you open a show because I mean, there isn't really that. Yeah. You have to survive really in many ways. So,
yeah.
and especially some, the idea generally is always that you would get a big role and then a lot of smaller roles.
Mm-hmm.
But the reality, unfortunately, wasn't always that. So some actors were really pushed to the limits.
Oh,
because
they were getting big
yeah.
roles. And oh,
which,
yeah.
Or
of
a
course,
bunch of supporting
amazing.
Roles,
yeah.
which those supporting roles can
yeah.
Oh, yeah, if you're playing four
you.
Different characters
right.
in each show.
Yeah. Yeah.
yeah.
yeah.
And at the same time, it's amazing to get exposed to so many different directors and plays and shows.
People and
yeah.
yeah.
Survived that one.
Yeah.
Although, something interesting is like we as Flag Shakes do rotating rep most of the time, not always, with the same director. So that kind of, in a way, solves the problem you were talking about because usually if we can manage, we hire one director who's willing to do both shows. And it's also the same actors and the same director.
Yeah.
So, like, the parameters have been set.
Yes.
The style,
the
expectations, and the relationships are very much established. And it's just two different sets of material.
Yeah.
which is nice. I never even really thought about that.
Yeah. Because you establish a shorthand with everyone and everything.
How actors approach things, how directors approach things. Yeah. This summer, we are going to have two different directors. So we've done both, but that's what we're doing this year. Last year, you know, Jim directed both.
Yeah.
So we've done a little bit of all of the above. Like, our Hamlet and Midsummer season was same director, also Jim.
Yeah.
So, interesting.
Yeah.
And at the Globe, actually, they did similar to the German model. You would open one show, and once that was open, then you would go into rehearsal for the next show. But usually there were a lot of different companies at the theater at the same time, so you would have like possibly two companies doing two shows, but then there are also others that just came in to do one show.
So it's really just the space, but they're being produced by different people. Is that what you mean by company?
Sorry, an acting company.
Acting company.
Yeah.
Okay.
So gotcha. A different cast. Yeah.
Gotcha. Okay.
I see.
Yeah.
Okay.
So we kind of touched on it a little bit.
Yeah.
So what are the pros and the cons of rotating rep? You kind of mentioned a con is that sometimes like things can get watered down. We sort of just have to survive in some ways. So artistically, you know, actors can get tired. They're stretched thin. They can't just focus on one role necessarily. They have to think about so many different tracks, so many different things. Cons also include things like, you never really let it, you never let work go because you're in rehearsal, you're at a show, you're in this bubble. You just kind of like get through. But what are pros of rotating rep? Of course, like on a business side, since, you know, as Flag shakes, like for us, we can put on more shows at once. We can sell more tickets. You know, we only house one actor versus two to play. One actor is playing two roles in two different shows rather than two actors playing two different roles. So less housing, less resources used, et cetera. So there are pros on the business side. What are pros on the artistic side of rotating rep?
I mean, I would definitely say that you're getting stretched in many different directions, and that really informs all of your future work as well as the work at the moment. So I think just getting exposed to all sorts of different roles and then inputs with other actors and see how their work ethic is. I think there's, you know, in such a short amount of time, I would say you grow artistically.
Yeah. Exponentially.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Just baptized by fire. You're just thrown in.
Yeah.
You're immersed.
Yeah. Yeah.
As an actor or an artist.
Yeah. Which, but I think is sort of actually in the way of talking about it needs to get into the body is actually quite often beneficial exactly for that, to get it in your body and your body understanding that that is sort of the rigor of it and what it needs. So I think it actually helps you for any future show that that your body and muscle memory is already halfway there.
Like you can do it.
I
think maybe this is business or audience or act or creatives, like getting to do shows that maybe have similar themes or contrasting themes, or I mean, yeah, like Indecent and God of Vengeance, like how That's many true. People can say they've done both at the same time? Like, Indecent is based off of God of Vengeance. Like, that is very cool. Or, like, Othello and The Importance of Being Earnest. Like, yeah, you've got this really heavy, deep show. And then you have this light little fizzy.
Silly,
like,
frivolous.
Yeah, yeah. So, yeah, just, like, that contrast or that juxtaposition or that, yeah, like, similarities and stuff. Getting to do multiple shows at once with different stuff like that.
Yeah, rep can be very artistically fulfilling. Like, you know, people who do Julius Caesar and Cleopatra and use the same actors to play the same characters. And then, like, that's a really cool thing for the audience to see, because then it really feels like he's a real person, because I just saw him in two different plays.
Yeah.
Wow, that's so cool.
Yeah.
Or, you know, like, this is not quite rep, but, like, when you do a canon, like when you do like the Henriad, but use like Prince Hal as the same actor all through through all the Henrys, or Falstaff follows through all the Henrys, which I guess, yeah, not quite rep unless you just like happen to do them all together. But yeah, you can see through lines. You can see through lines. Yeah. You can see connections. Yeah. Which is really cool stuff for both actors and audience members.
Yeah.
Especially if you do something like Julius Caesar, Cleopatra, and you're playing one of those characters, like you become that person and you get mm-hmm. to be that person in several different instances, which is super cool.
Yeah.
Stuff like that can be really awesome in rep. Although, to be honest, I don't feel like it's utilized. I feel like rotating rep is not utilized thematically as much as it could.
Yeah. Mm. I would agree. Sometimes it feels like it's just like what's going to be a big seller? What's going to be the moneymaker?
A smattering of shows.
Yeah.
Although I would argue like Othello and the importance of being earnest is actually great for both audience and people involved, because it's a really nice antidote to
That's
it.
True.
You know, so you sort of get to explore the depth of human nature as well as the heights of it, you know, and really enjoy it. So, and I think actually if you do both at the same time, you are also more willing and possibly capable to go deeper because you know you have this lovely antidote of having fun on stage again after get to enjoy it.
You can take a breath.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. You're not just living in the
It's not all heartbreak.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah.
Well, actually, speaking of, so we have announced our summer season, so go look on our website and stuff. But that's exactly what we're looking at for our summer season. Mm-hmm. We're doing Julius Caesar and Merry Wives of Windsor. And we very much, like, Julius Caesar is, like, traditional masculinity. And Merry Wives is very much, like, the power of femininity. Mm-hmm. And they're very different shows. Merry Wives is silly and just raucous. And, you know, it's not...
not stabbing people.
And it's just for funsies, right? It's a silly little story, and Julius Caesar is, you know, political and dramatic, but they are sort of telling opposite stories, which kind of in a way makes them perfect for each other. Which we talked about when we decided on them.
Yeah.
So also come see Julius Caesar and Merry Wives of Windsor. Woo-hoo-hoo.
Yes. Little plug.
Yes, plug.
That's really interesting. I don't know Merry Wives of Windsor as well as I know Julius Caesar, but that was really interesting what you just said, that like Julius Caesar is kind of like sitting in this masculine,
traditionally masculine
and Merry Wives is a little bit more feminine.
Mm-hmm. Well, because Merry Wives has a really awesome set of female characters. Mm-hmm. It has, of course, the Wives of Windsor, but it also has Mistress Quickly. So there's like three quite powerhouse ladies leading that show. And of course, we have Falstaff, who's a huge part of Merry Wives of Windsor, because he causes all the trouble. But yeah, there's really three large female roles in that show. And then you look at Julius Caesar, that has one, traditionally.
Yeah.
Of course, lots of those roles can be played by women. But there's so few roles
ladies. They very much serve the men in the role, in the show.
Yes, absolutely. Yeah. And that's the great thing about Merry Wives, too, that they actually, the women work with each other to have fun, you know?
Nice.
Like, that's their, we really see how well they're supportive of each other and work well with each other.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
It's such a good show. I love Merry Wives. Merry Wives was the first show I did with Flag Shakes.
Oh,
I know. So it's so exciting to for us to be coming back to it. Yeah.
Yeah.
Although I'm not sure if I'll be able to be in our summer shows because honeymoon. Yeah.
Good reason.
Really good reason. Very good. But I might be in Puerto Rico when we start rehearsals, so it might not work out. So
Yeah.
Lovely.
Nice.
So do we have any fun stories of times we've been in rep?
Well, I don't know if this is necessarily like rep related, but I was doing a show with a theater company in Montana, and we were, you know, it was like the height of the season. We had four shows that were like the sets were just living backstage. But somebody was doing like a prank throughout like the company where it was like... I think it was this like Daddy Warbucks like commemorative plate. What? We were doing Annie for one of the shows.
Daddy Warbucks commemorative plate.
But like somebody hit it on one of the set pieces and like I was doing my checks as the ASM and I was like, what the fuck is this doing backstage? Like, this is going to end up on stage. And I mean, I just got like mad. I was like, to the person who started it, I was like, this can't happen. And he's like, I'm sorry, it wasn't me. I'm like, I know, but I don't know who it was. So like, I'm coming to you.
So people were just hiding it in silly places for people to find it.
Yeah, for people to find, yeah. And I was like, it can't happen on stage.
I was going to say, it can be backstage. Like, put it under a prop or something. Or,
yeah,
like,
yeah.
Under
don't put it on
makeup.
A set piece. That's going to make its way. That's silly. Yeah. But like, people would do the matinee mole. Like, they would put a mole on themselves for like a Sunday matinee.
What? I've never heard of that. Lovely. I mean, oh my gosh. Sometimes you just got to make a Sunday matinee better because they can be sleepy.
It is the end of the week. Ooh. Everyone is just like pushing through to that last. Or sometimes can be. I don't want to say it's a worse show because it definitely is not, but people are a little bit more tired.
That's really funny. You know, I will say I feel like in reps, the good thing about rep is that like you settle. So you can have more fun backstage. Mm. You can like chat with your coworkers a little bit more. You can like do silly backstage content. You can do matinee moles. You can do like, because you're not just like, where am I standing and what lines am I saying? Like you've settled into it so much that it's so much in your body, as Christine has said, that you can just like enjoy yourself a little bit more, which is fun.
Mm-hmm. Agreed.
Silly stories, Christine? Any matinee moles?
I'm really bad at sort of like retelling any stories. You know, German theater is serious. So no, they were
so serious. Yeah. No matinee moles.
No, not that's absolutely not true. I don't know. I don't remember any specific where people like try to do stuff. I do remember like funny bits that happened. I feel like more of that was going on at the Globe, especially like with like later show, like recent shows where the actors were also asked to sort of bring in a lot of input into the shows, so there were, you know, sometimes new curious addition to costume pieces or something, you know.
Right. Yeah. New choices were being made.
But yeah, I don't have anything specific that sort of stands out that was triggered by the fact that it was rep.
Another thing with sort of along those lines that can happen in rep is, again, you run for a decent amount of time and some things can morph. Like a joke that took 5 seconds like can get milked to the point of like, okay, this is
wrap
too
it
much.
Up.
Yeah. And also, I mean, Broadway is not rep, but similarly, a really long run or something like Broadway where like it just has no end date, it can also get hard. You know, I've seen shows where the actors are dead behind the eyes.
Oh, no.
You know, they've been doing this show for 4 months, 6 months, a year, 2 years, and they're just getting by. And that can get hard on an audience, obviously on an actor, because like, how do you bring that newness? And that's why I just thought that the matinee mole was so funny.
I agree.
Because you do have to find a reason to like have fun today. It's a Sunday matinee.
Yeah.
This is my job. Last night I went out with my friends because I have a life, and now I have a Sunday matinee.
Yeah.
And I'm an actor. I have to find the same energy that I found on a Friday night. Mm-hmm. But it's a Sunday afternoon. Like, how do I find that vigor? And that's why I think it's fun, like, seeing the backstage shenanigans, the Daddy Warbucks plate. Like, what is making me laugh today that's, like, making me get through this production today? And I think that's the hard part can be about rep, is that you run for a few months and you have a lot that you're doing, and you're doing so many shows and you're tired.
Yeah.
And like, what makes it different today? What makes it new today?
Yeah.
Because the audience that's there on the Sunday matinee wants the same show that opening night saw.
Yeah.
You know.
And I think.
Sorry, go ahead.
I was just going to say, I think sometimes people who are not in the business forget that like things can be mundane for like theater as well. Like, like it is like yeah, like I enjoy my job, but it's still a job.
Yeah.
And yeah, sometimes doing the same show 100 times, mm-hmm. you need to find a new way to tap into that like fun playfulness.
Right.
I agree.
Yeah, like not just zoning out. Oh my gosh.
Yeah.
Accents are always a fun thing that appear on stage.
Okay. Yeah. You're like, where did that come from?
Like, we don't rehearse that. Okay.
Yeah. We did a show at the Globe where Duke Frederick, I think, all of a sudden appeared with a French accent one time.
Just one
thankfully
show.
Thankfully did not repeat itself.
Did Duke Frederick realize, or was Duke Frederick told?
Like, no, I think that was an actor choice.
Okay.
Was he told to stop?
Oh, I don't know.
Okay. Yeah. Or did he realize, like, oh, maybe that wasn't the best choice for that moment?
I don't know.
Duke Frederick, like, in As You Like It?
Yeah.
Silly.
Yeah. I loved David Skandura's accents in Two Noble Kinsmen.
Oh, uh-huh.
As the doctor. There were a couple fun ones coming out.
Oh, fun.
Yeah, that was always, and kept everybody on their toes because nobody knew what accent would come out today, you know? But sometimes that's exactly funny. The right thing to do.
Yeah, for the right character.
Yeah, exactly. I mean, you don't want, every character to do that. But
a clown could change up every day because the clown is unpredictable no matter what. It keeps us on our toes.
Oh, that's something that Jim put into Midsummer Night's Dream was the one aloof stand sentinel talking about the fairy. Jim was like,
I got to choose.
Oh yeah, you said it. Yeah, he was like, pick someone new. And I was like, oh my god, I can't do this. I was so nervous.
I got to choose a new fairy every night to stay because I was like the head fairy or one or whatever. So I got to choose, and I think I did my best to like try to choose someone truly new every time.
Yeah.
So I think, because we only ran for 2 or 3 weekends and there was like seven fairies on stage. So I think most everyone got like one chance to do it. But
I've seen that with the witches in
Mackers.
Yes, in Mackers.
doing what?
So they would, again, at the Globe, they would draw straws at the beginning. And so I think everybody got to draw straws, and then 3 people had the witch's straw. And so they would be the witches for the play.
Wait, what?
Yeah.
Wait. Like, new people would play those roles every day?
So everybody knew
the witch track?
Witch's track, yeah.
Wait, that's so fun.
Yeah.
That is really fun. So it's like always with a combo of new people.
Yeah.
Wait, but who were they playing otherwise when they weren't witches? Like a bunch of ensemble members? So they were all like,
So everybody had a part in the show.
Uh-huh.
But then it just was never clear who on that specific night would play the three witches.
Oh, so you were, if you drew the straw, you were the witch and your normal.
Your other character.
Exactly. Oh. So you had your main
track.
That's
nerve-wracking.
And then, but also fun because that is sort of you as your track sort of gave you a little bit more every once in a while. And then sort of, you know, it should have. Yeah. And for instance, if you're Mackers and then play a witch, like how does that inform your storyline?
How can you do both?
Yeah.
Oh, my.
That's
fun.
Cool. Yeah.
That's fun.
So just bringing it back to directors, like directors can help kind of keep things fresh, like giving the freedom of whatever accent you want to choose that night, or pick a random person, or who's playing the witches tonight, who knows.
Which is why stuff like Clue is fun, because there's like certain shows where you can like choose your own adventure or the audience votes, and that kind of stuff does not get boring because it does change and
keeps it fresh.
I think that with Clue, Clue the musical, I think there's like 120 ways that show can actually be played.
Wow.
Or something crazy like that. Yeah. So like the detective or whatever character has to know an insane amount of lines because it will change.
They got to lead the...
Based on whatever like the audience votes for or whatever. So yeah, there are fun ways like that, which I also just love. Like any chance for improv. I mean, that's also why Flag Shakes... You know, I love the way Flag Shakes does things with a lot of audience and human connection because it does feel new every night. Because when I say that line, I look at someone and I make a giggle. Or like, you know, even with FSO, like it was a proscenium. But like I remember I like took the yet she is little, though she be but little she is fierce line to a little kid. And I like looked at them and was like, even though you're little. Aww. And like, you know, like I wouldn't have expect, like I couldn't have expected a kid to be in the front row. But as soon as I looked, I was like, oh, I'm going to do that. That's kind of fun. So it's like, you know, when you do have that human connection, you can make it new. Mm-hmm. Because the people in the audience are never going to laugh at the same things. They're never going to look at you the same ways. They're wearing interesting outfits that you can talk about or mention or use to make a joke or whatever it happens to be. So you can keep it fresh. Anything, any last minute thoughts on rotating rep, what it is, how we do it, how to stay sane?
It can be really rewarding to do it.
Agreed.
Yeah.
I think staying sane is the most important thing to think about. But then everything else, if you have that in your back pocket, then you can really enjoy it.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah, if you take care of the human stuff.
Yeah. Yeah.
Which we've talked a lot about on this podcast. We talked about just staying alive.
Yeah.
Yeah, I think it can be awesome. It can be great on the business side of things. It can be cool for actors as long as it's done healthily.
Yeah.
As long as it's done thoughtfully, because also I think a lot of companies can do rep in a very unhealthy way.
Yes.
And then their actors get burnt out. There are technicians, there are stage managers, and they're just running everybody ragged all the time, and that's no good. So as long as, like, you know, the work is put in on the front end to make sure that it is sustainable, I think rep can be awesome.
Agreed.
Yeah. And yes, please come to our rotating rep this summer. So definitely mark your calendars for July and August. We are doing 4 weekends this year rather than 3, which is awesome because we sold out all 3 weekends last year. Yay. But we will be at Lowell Observatory again. So
it was so pretty there.
Yeah, it was amazing. So if you're local to Flagstaff or just in the Southwest, or if you just want to come out from wherever you happen to be, please come see Julius Caesar, Merry Wives. It's going to be an awesome season, and hopefully we can take what we learned about rotating rep today to make sure that our actors and our technicians survive the summer and enjoy themselves.
Agreed, yes.
Yeah. Yeah.
Alrighty,
cool. Well, thank you so much for joining us, Christine. It was amazing. How can people find you if they want to hire you as a text coach or as a director or just want to learn more about you? How can they contact you?
Yeah, so I have this website called actshakespeare.com. So yeah, very easy to reach out through that. Mm-hmm. And yes, I'm very excited to just share all that I know and love. And I think it just really enables actors and directors to just go at Shakespeare a little bit more comfortable and relaxed. And that just opens up so much more artistic freedom. So
nice.
So yes. And thanks for having me.
Yeah.
It's been another amazing podcast. So thank you.
Good. Well, it was so lovely to have you again.
Yes. Hopefully, I was going to say, we'll see you in 3 years on this podcast again.
Yes. Exactly.
But hopefully it's before then.
I'm sure it will not be that long.
No.
Alrighty. Well, thanks, Christine. Thanks for listening to this month's episode of Untamed Shrews. I'm Hannah.
And I'm Becky. Join us for our next episode in May. Follow Untamed Shrews on our Instagram at Untamed Shrews Podcast and on the Flag Shakes website. All episodes of Untamed Shrews can be found wherever you get your podcasts, as well as on sunsounds.org.
Please subscribe to the podcast, leave us a review, put us in your Instagram stories, donate at flagshakes.org/donate, become a podcast sponsor, and buy Shrew Crew merch. Help support the Shrew Crew.
This episode of Untamed Shrews, starring Becky Zeritsky, Hannah Fonts, and Christine Schmidla. Show art by Calliope Ludecker. Podcast theme song by Cadence Lamb. Podcast produced and edited by Hannah Fonts. Now engaged.
Hannah Johnson almost.
Yeah, yeah.
Oh my gosh. No, I won't be Hannah Johnson by then.
Okay.
Wait, the May episode. No, it'll be like a week before.
Yeah.
Okay. The July episode will be produced and edited by Hannah Johnson.
Amazing. Presented by Flagstaff Shakespeare Festival and recorded with Sun Sounds of Arizona. Special thanks to our audio engineer, Gina Byers.
Woo! Thank you, Gina.
Bye.
Thanks, Christine.
Bye.
Bye.
Bye.